Turn with me in your Bibles this afternoon for a few minutes. The book of Ephesians and chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And we're still in verse 15, so let's read it this afternoon. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, see then. That you walk. Look to your walk. Examine your walk. Each of us, members of the Lord's church, he was speaking to the Ephesian church, and each one of them was to see then that you walk. Each one was to look to their walk. They were to examine their walk. They were to scrutinize their walk. They were to let the salvation which they have work out. You and I are to see to our walk. We're to look to our walk. We're to examine. We're to let the salvation which we have work out. Work out of us. That is in our daily life, just as the song we sang, Living by Faith. We're living by faith. Faith does not live in disobedience. Faith lives in obedience. Obedience to God's commands and God's word. We believe him. Sin is an exercise of unbelief. It's a failure to trust God as we ought. Walk circumspectly. We're to walk exactly as a child of God ought to walk. Exactly as Christ walked. Exactly as Christ loved and gave himself for us. This afternoon, looking for a moment at the finishing statement of that verse, not as fools. But as wise. Not as fools, but as wise. The illustration there is that living in sin, walking in sin, walking in as the children of disobedience, walking in doing the works of darkness. And he listed some of those that we've looked at in the past in these verses. It's foolishness. Whenever you and I do less than what is expected of us of God, it is foolishness. Sometimes we make foolish choices. Sometimes we make foolish decisions. Most of the time, I think I do. Most of the time I think I make decisions that aren't very wise. Turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel. The book of 2 Samuel. And here in this passage that we're going to read from the 24th chapter, the general course of David's life, the general walk of David's life, is one that is portrayed of following after God, seeking God. We know that that was the general course of his life, and therefore he said to be a man after God's own heart. He sought to know the heart of God. He sought to know the will of God and the ways of God, and he sought to do it. With the exception of the sin with Bathsheba and then concerning her husband Uriah, David had the testimony that he was the friend of God. His ways pleased the Lord. But we find not only the sin with Bathsheba and then concerning Uriah, we find in the latter days of his life, he failed to trust the Lord as he ought to. He failed to believe the Lord. And he did something that was not wise. It was foolish. In verse 10, and this is after that David numbered the people, particularly the fighting men of the tribes of the nation of Israel. Verse 10 says, "And David's heart smote him after that he had numbered the people. And David said unto the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech thee, O Lord, take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly." David here recognized that he had done foolishly, that he had not done as a wise man following after God, trusting God as he ought to. Many might say, well, what was wrong with him numbering the people? We number the people, and we see the results of the 2020 census coming out. Got some pieces of it now coming out. What's so wrong with David having numbered the people? Well, first of all, they were commanded by God not to. Not to. Why do you suppose they were commanded not to number the people? And particularly, the fighting men of war. The men who were of age and mighty men a war. Why do you suppose they weren't to do that? Because God was to be their God. Their heart, their trust, their dependency was to be upon God and not in the numbers that they had. God, time and time again, fought their battles, won their battles with the fewest number of people so that they would know beyond a doubt that it was God that walked the victory and not their might. In numbering the people, David showed a lack of trust in God. Well, I got to know how many people I got, because there's a strength in numbers, right? Now, that's the way we humans look at it, is it not? How many times have you heard the comment, there is strength in numbers? We've heard it over and over again, haven't we? But you put God on your side, and you don't need anyone else. Just God. God wanted them to trust Him. And so David, in numbering the people, sinned. It was unbelief. He failed to trust God. This is the one. This is the man. The boy. Who from the time he was a lad tending his father's sheep sought the Lord for everything. When he became a man of war in Saul's army, he sought the Lord. When he was king and perceived war was at hand, he sought the Lord. Shall I go or shall I not? He didn't rely on numbers. He relied on God. But we find he did foolishly and numbered the people. Turn with me to the book of Job. The book of Job. Chapter 2. I want you to know the closing verse of chapter 1. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. All that befell Job in the first chapter, the loss of basically all his possessions, and he sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In other words, he didn't say evil against God. He didn't charge God wrongfully. But in chapter 2, verse 10, when the Lord had allowed Satan to touch his body, his wife says in verse 9, and then said his wife unto him, unto Job, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Do you still maintain your innocence before God? Do you still maintain your righteousness before God? Is what she said. Curse God and die. This word, curse, is very peculiar in the Hebrew language. It's a word that means to kneel down and to bless and to curse. What was she saying?
Kurt going to,
whoa, kneel down to God and bless him and die. Well, that doesn't seem to fit. Doesn't seem to fit what Job responds in the next verse. We have to grab the word curse over here. Say evil against God and die. Let God kill you.
It appears that he's going to anyhow, so let's get this thing over with.
But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh.
Listen.
Not to trust God is foolishness. To say evil against God is foolishness. And I believe with all my heart, and I've experienced it, that when God deals with us concerning our sin, he doesn't leave us wondering, well, now, is this because of some sin I did, or why has this come upon me? No, my experience has been he let me know full well that it was because of my sin. Because of my rebellion against him.
Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaking.
I mean, to counsel me, I maintain my innocence before God. It's not sin which I've done. And you're wanting me to say evil against God? Why, God, why have you allowed this to come upon me? I am innocent.
And I've come to realize anything that I experience
in the way of trial and tribulations in this life, I deserve far greater. Far greater, because I'm a great sinner. I deserve far worse.
So Job says to his wife, he says, you're speaking foolishness. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? We that are sinful men. Shall we? Shall we not receive that which is good at the hand of God, and also receive evil? Ask yourselves the next time that you're suffering under some affliction.
You see, the tendency in me and you, I'm sure, is to, at the times that we're suffering affliction, the tendency is to forget all about the good that we've been blessed with.
And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? In other words, he did not charge God foolishly.
He did not curse God. He did not charge God with something that was not becoming God. He reverenced his God.
to do otherwise would have been foolish. It would have been done as his wife, who was foolish. And what she said. And the way she tried, I mean, I put her,
you know, a wife is supposed to be your closest friend. Your husband, wives, your husbands are supposed to be your closest friend. They're to be the one that sticks with you through anything. But I put Job's wife right up there with his three friends. Which, you continue to read the book and his three friends. And his three friends get done. And the language that Job uses concerning his three friends and the way that they came to him and what he was experiencing from their mouths and everything. I just love that. That's about chapter... I just read it last night. I think it's about chapter 30 of Job. 29 and 30 in there. Amazing.
Maybe chapter 31. We're talking about foolish. Not as fools. We're not to be as the foolish men. We're not to be as the foolish women. Look with me now at Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 8. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. Do you understand that?
I suppose there's two ways you can take that. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand the way of God. The psalmist, David, I believe, he sought to know the ways of the Lord. He delighted in the Word of God because it revealed to him the ways of God. It was a light unto his feet and showed him the path in which he walked. Showed him the ways, but also
the wise man, the wisdom of the wise, wisdom of the prudent, is to understand his own way.
You got to understand what he's talking about. He's talking about wisdom. He's talking about the wisdom that God gives. The wisdom that comes from God helps us to understand our way. Helps us to understand what's wrong. And understanding what the right way is and to walk in the right way.
That's the wisdom of the prudent. He understands the way of God. He understands his own way. The evil of his own way. And seeks to forsake the evil of his way and walk in the ways of God. You get the idea from the Word of God? Have you gotten the idea from the Word of God? That the walk
of the prudent, the walk of the Christian, is work, is labor. And it takes much looking at the Word of God and insight into the Word of God, for which we have none of ourselves. Therefore, we have to ask God to show us and reveal us to us the light of His Word. But now notice the last one. But the folly of fools is deceit. There are two people that the fool deceives. He deceives himself, and he deceives others. But he ought to deceive the child of God, and the child of God had ought not to be a deceiver. Because see, the way of the fool is not the way of the wise. And the child of God is to be going in the way of the wise. He's to be getting the wisdom from God, which lightens the dark deeds of the workers of darkness. Going back a couple verses in our text, is it not? Let us understand the folly of fools is deceit. It's lies. It's evil. It's wicked. It's not to walk in the ways of the Lord. So back to Ephesians chapter 5. Fornication. All uncleanness. Covetousness. It's all foolishness. And the child of God is to be wise. And he's not to walk in those ways. He's not to walk in foolishness. Not as fools. Our text says, turn with me to Colossians. Colossians chapter 4. In verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. You see, our walk is to be a walk in wisdom. And when our walk is a walk in wisdom, what is it? It's a testimony to them that are without. It's a testimony to those who are within, but it's also a testimony to them that are without. That the world may see and know that we are Christ, that we belong to Christ. We're to walk in wisdom, answering to as wise, which will be to walk correctly. It'll not to be to walk as the workers of darkness. It'll be to walk as children of light, children of God, followers of God, followers of Jesus Christ. Look with me at the book of James. James chapter 3. In verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Huh? Who is?
Who among us is a wise man and endued with knowledge?
Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Let him show out of a good behavior, a good manner of his life, his works with meekness of wisdom. In other words, we reveal whether we're wise or whether we're foolish by our walk, by our works, by our manner of life. Am I doing that which is pleasing to the Lord? Are you doing that which is pleasing to the Lord? Are you walking in His ways? Are you walking in the wisdom that He gives? Am I walking in the wisdom which He gives? If we are, then we can look and say, well, he's walking as a wise man. Because he not only professes to be wise in Christ, but his walk is giving evidence that he is in Christ and that he's a wise man.
Look at chapter 1 of James. Wherefore, in verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls.
It's not our word. It's not my word. It's the engrafted word. It's the word of God which is engrafted into our souls. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it will be given him.
When you receive that wisdom, you'll lay apart all superfluity of naughtiness. And filthiness. You will receive the word of God.
Where does wisdom come from? Well, you say it comes from God. But how does he give it to you? First Corinthians 1:30 says Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Word of God.
This whole book reveals to us God, reveals to us Jesus Christ. The book of Proverbs.
Wisdom. Wisdom is the main theme of the book of Proverbs. And who does wisdom personify there? Jesus Christ. Where am I going to get wisdom? Where are you going to get wisdom? Well, I'm going to ask of God. I'm going to go to God in prayer and I'm going to ask Him for wisdom. Lord, I don't feel any wiser today. Oh. I got to do something?
You're right, Doug. I got to pick up the book. The Word of God. And as I ask for wisdom, you know what he does? He opens up his word to me. He gives me the light of his word.
In closing, I know you know this verse, but turn over a couple pages to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15.
But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in all manner of behavior. There's wisdom. There's a wise walk. When we find ourselves walking in holiness, and then we'll walk pleasing to the Lord, pleasing to God. We'll stop there today.